I move that House Committee substitute for House Bill 163 with an amendment pending be taken up for consideration.
You've heard the motion from the Senator from Johnson. All those of the opinion that motion shall prevail say aye.
Aye.
Those of the contrary, no. The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. The bill is before the body. The Senator from the first has the pending amendment. Senator from the first.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, could I inquire of the Senator from Stoddard?
Senator from Stoddard is not in the chamber. He shall be summoned by
Thank
the
you,
Sergeant
President.
At Arms. Do you yield to an inquiry from the Senator from the first?
Most certainly.
He does. Proceed.
Hello, Senator.
Hey, Senator.
How are you this morning?
Doing well. Did you do well last night?
Actually, I was home quickly. Yeah, back to the office doing work.
Cashed out and went home, huh?
And I think that it shows how pitiful my skills are. You asked a couple questions yesterday that I didn't have the answer to as far as what other states are doing as far as this extension of unemployment.
Yeah, I don't know if I asked that question, but go ahead. I'd like to know what other states are doing this.
Yeah, maybe you asked me. You're right. I wrote it down here. You asked me whether or not there might be individuals that could benefit from these extensions. And
legitimately or
right.
justly.
And I think that the scope of my answer was that that I didn't think that our state should continue to be a willing accomplice in the overspending, you know, of our federal government. And I think to a certain degree you agree.
Oh, I agree with you.
Yeah.
Yes.
And
I'm not sure this is the right way to take care of it, but I'm open to for suggestions.
Okay. And again, you know, my concerns are you know, for those seniors in my district that are living on a fixed income and have a retirement that they're counting on to, you know, get them through their senior years, and that young family that lives two doors down from me on Ann Lynn Court that have two young children that are working
put forth a pro job creation agenda this session as well as this whole Senate body.
Right, and we're anxious to get to those bills. I just did some research after our discussion yesterday. And this is from the Congressional Budget Office's website. The CBO projects that only 38% of the $7 billion program for unemployment extension will be spent because many of the states are reluctant to change their unemployment benefit eligibility rules to qualify. Now, I know that we don't have to change any of our rules as far as this extension, but you remember a couple of years ago, you remember that, Senator? That money for that extension, we would have had to change our rules, and this body, this General Assembly, said no to the federal government.
Okay, now hold up before you get going very, very far. And this is you inquired of me.
I did. I'm going to share some information.
I was just curious. What was the percentage again? What was that figure you just threw out? Something about 38% or 31%?
They project that only 38% of the $7 billion program for unemployment extension will be spent.
Okay, now why is that? Why is only 38% going to be spent? Is because they don't administratively get it distributed? I mean, is it they're refusing it, or why is that number 38%?
Great question. It actually says that the reason is because many of the states would have to change their eligibility requirements
And I guess we've already changed ours.
No, actually, we refused.
Last year?
No, 2 years ago we refused to change. I don't know if it was 2 years ago. We refused to change ours and didn't take it.
Okay.
Right?
Senator, hearing no objection, the chair would like to introduce some special guests. There. Back to the inquiry.
So the states, many of these states, I don't know the reason, to the state as far as why they're rejecting. But let me just share with you and to the other members. Rick Perry of the state of Texas rejected $555 million in extended benefits. The state of Alaska, Sarah Palin, and their state rejected $288 million.
That oil must be flowing in both those states.
Must be.
Oil prices going up and
Bob Riley,
per gallon prices are higher, and probably more revenue coming into those states, I would imagine.
Bob Riley of Alabama rejected $66 million. Haley Barbour of Mississippi rejected $50 million. Bobby Jindal of Louisiana vetoed you know, what the legislature passed.
So is this the same money that we're talking about today? You're certain that this is the same money, that it's not some different type of unemployment insurance program?
It says for the unemployment extension. That's what we're talking about here. So unless there was another different one. And you know what, Senator? Even
so what happened to the money? They sent it back, so what happened to it? Do you know?
I don't know.
I mean, did it go to budget deficit reduction?
Boy,
I hope so.
I would hope so.
I'm for that 100%.
Yeah, I'd hope so.
I think you and I need to go to Washington, don't we?
Yeah. Virginia, General Assembly.
Don't seem too convicted about that. Okay.
Yeah. Virginia's General Assembly rejected $125 million. Wyoming's House rejected.
Are you totaling that up as you talk to me?
I'm not.
I'd like to know what the gross amount is.
Yeah. Governor Riley from Alabama continues to reject $100 million for unemployment benefits. Florida rejected $444 million for jobless aid and unemployment benefits.
I guess when you've got a right-to-work law, you don't have nearly as much unemployment, do you?
Yeah. The it seems to me there are examples
of leaders. Seems like that's pretty true.
There are examples of leaders, Senator, in other states that have said no to the federal government, had said no to their overspending.
Oh, I don't doubt there hadn't. I want to know, where'd the money go? Did they use it to reduce the deficit?
Well, you would hope so.
I don't know about hoping. Yeah, I hope. But, I mean, you tell me, is that what happened to it, or did it go to other states?
You know, a good friend of mine that served with us over in the House.
Do you know?
You remember Carl Bearden? Do I know where the money? I said yesterday I would hope that our leaders would be fiscally accountable to the people, and they'd use that to reduce the $1.6 trillion.
100%. I'm with you 100%.
So, you know,
I'd hope they'd be like Missouri, you know, and come forth with a balanced budget.
Right.
In fact, I would be supportive if you want to offer a resolution here, and we'll send it to Washington asking that they come forth with a balanced budget amendment like President Reagan did back in the early 80s.
I'd be happy to work with you on that.
Okay.
Yeah, that'd be great. You know, our good friend Carl Bearden used to have a sign on his desk. I don't know if you remember that.
I used to have something about what's always popular is not always right, and what's right's not always popular.
And that's I think the stands that we're going to take in this body this year that say, you know what, we're not going to be a willing accomplice, you know, in your thievery. You know, that you're stealing from the American people, you're stealing from the next generation. We're not going to be complicit in that theft.
Right.
All right.
You're preaching to the choir, Senator.
What? I'm sorry?
You're preaching to the choir.
I know I am. Well, I just wanted to get that information to you, Senator, because I thought, you know, I didn't have an answer yesterday as far as.
And I appreciate that. I really do, because I tend to be a little bit detailed oriented. And I think that any time that we do something here in this body, it has an impact not only on a handful of people, but nearly 5.9 million people here in the state of Missouri. So I tend to be a little bit, since I've been here in this body, more deliberative, more detail-oriented, and I want to know that what we send out of this body is good work, good quality work, and we know to a great extent what we're doing. And I know you work hard, and I'm not inferring that you don't, so I appreciate you gathering that information and letting me know, because obviously there are other states that are sending back a great deal of federal money. So thank you for your research.
Thank you, Senator. Mr. President.
Senator from the First.
Could I inquire the Senator from Johnson?
The Senator from Johnson, do you yield to the inquiry?
I do.
He does. Proceed.
Thank you, Mr. President.
I've got some information about that last interchange you have, if you want to talk about that.
Well, that'd be great. Okay. And then I'll hold this. I'll hold off some questions I had for you. Good morning.
Good morning.
You got some information for me?
Yeah, that was not the exact same program that you're referring to. And so when you were talking about those.
Was that a different extension?
It was not the same program. It's not the one that we're debating today.
You're saying the states actually rejected monies that were on a different extension?
Well, the state of Missouri had to make some accommodations. We had to make some changes. We did, and because of that, we didn't qualify for the federal program, so we weren't even eligible for that. So it is not the same extended unemployment benefits that we're talking about right now.
Is this probably, Senator, when they extended it from, 50-something weeks to 79 weeks? You think it was on that extension?
Yeah. It could have been.
So those states took a stand even before the extension to 99 weeks, is what you're telling me.
I'm not saying that. It's just that there were certain requirements in the different programs that were there. There are four different tiers that had different requirements at different times to sign in.
Yeah, all I see here, this is from the Congressional Budget Office, and it says for unemployment extension. So it might have been a different extension, is what you're saying.
It could have been.
Yeah.
It's not the one. It's not the 20-week.
But it's for unemployment benefits, and it was an extension of those benefits.
Yeah, you could say that, but it's not the 20 weeks that we're talking about right now.
Okay.
And to my knowledge, Senator, no states are turning back this money right now that we're talking about.
Okay. We would be the first.
I would believe
so. We would actually be leading in this area. We'd be leading. All right. Okay. Well, that's good information to have, Senator. I got a question for you.
Sure.
You mentioned yesterday that this what we're trying to do here, this extension, wouldn't affect any businesses in our state. Is that what you said?
The first 26 weeks that we have, that is when we have the business tax that pay for our unemployment. And so this would not affect that whatsoever.
Okay, what about the state of Missouri, cities and county governments, those that churches, and those that don't pay into or draw from the fund? Does it affect those businesses, this extension?
Not that I'm aware of.
Now, well, I think we better check into that, Senator, because the information that I've been given says that it would. It would affect those businesses.
To the tune of what? I mean...
Well, here, I got some information. We haven't got the numbers for Missouri yet, but in the state of Maryland, it cost an estimated $7 million for the state and $12 million for counties across the state of Maryland. So I don't know what it's going to cost the state of Missouri and what kind of fiscal note that this bill has on it, or what it's going to cost the 114 counties and their governments across the state, but I think that we better find out the answer to that. Do we have the answer to that, Senator?
That's the first that I've heard of that, Senator.
Okay.
So, you know, I can't speak to that right now. So,
okay.
The again, the unemployment program that we have right now is the first 26 weeks that the Missouri employers pay into that for unemployment. The rest of the tiers are paid by the federal government. This is also, this last 20 weeks is paid for by the federal government. Missouri does not have to pay anything for that. It's the $81 million that will be coming to our state in unemployment benefits that those folks and the communities that they represent will be the beneficiaries
of that. The information I have, Senator, is in those that I just addressed, the state, the counties, the cities, and then like churches, they're self-insured, and they're known as reimbursable employers. Are you familiar with that term?
I'm not.
Okay. Well, I think that's an interesting development, as far as this is concerned, and how this is going to affect those entities.
I would assume, we've done this the last 2 years. We extended the unemployment benefits for the last 2 years. This issue has not been brought up before. And I'm not saying that that's inaccurate, but it has not been an issue that has been brought up before. So it's a very, very similar program to what's been done the last 2 years, which passed, again, in this chamber unanimously.
Right. Okay. Thank you, Senator. Appreciate the inquiry. Mr. President.
Senator from the 1st.
Could I inquire the senator from the 26th?
The senator from Franklin is not in the chamber. He shall be summoned by the sergeant-at-arms.
You want to talk? Mr. President.
Senator from the 1st.
Could I change my inquiry to the senator from Howell?
You have the floor, Senator. The senator from Howell, do you yield to the inquiry?
I yield.
He does proceed.
Senator, good morning. How are you?
I'm doing fine. I understand what you're doing here, but, you have to begin thinking. You are operating under the idea that the federal government actually wants to at some time balance a budget and begin paying off debt, because that's what the rest of us do, in our households every day. We have to watch our income, we watch our costs going up, and at some point you have to balance a budget. And this whole idea, and I know what you're trying to do, because you're wanting to do your part on trying to attempt to get the federal government to balance their books. Well, in a real world, you and I, I still believe that way, that you should balance your books. But when you come to the point of realization that the federal government has no desire to balance the books, that their desire is now to monetize the debt, So, you know, what we're doing here is kind of like drinking beer with an alcoholic. And we have one beer left, and we give it back to him to put it back in the refrigerator. He's not going to put it back in the refrigerator. He's going to drink it. Because their desire is not to balance. It's to monetize the debt. And until you go past that and start remembering that and preparing people that we're never going to balance a budget. We're never going to pay off this debt. It's impossible to pay off this debt. It is impossible for us to ever get it under control. So the only thing left is monetization of the debt. And that's what you're seeing right now. So, you know, states can, you know, they can make a valiant effort, but you have to be in partnership with someone that actually wants to balance their budget, and they don't. Because monetization of the debt is easier than actually taking the steps needed to stop spending. You know, it's amazing. You know the TARP program bailed out the banks? Guess who's on the hook now? That's you and I, and we're going to pay through high inflationary cost and begin the part of monetizing the debt. The people that didn't cause it are the ones that's going to end up paying the price for it, because people on fixed income with inflation going up, you know, when you begin monetizing the debt, it increases inflation. And that is going to kill your purchasing power. So the average people are going to be hurt the worst by this. But what we have to figure out, and I think what you begin realizing as a state, do we continue fighting on ground that's already lost, or do we begin looking at the future and trying to prepare the state of Missouri for future endeavors rather than trying to stop an alcoholic from drinking that refuses to acknowledge that they have a problem?
Yes, Senator, first of all, you know, we usually agree on everything and or pretty much everything, and I think we agree on this. I have no confidence in Washington, D.C. at all, and of our representatives up that we've sent to Washington, D.C. to do the right thing. You know, the senator from Stoddard said, are you sure that they're going to use this money to bring down the deficit? And I'm not sure. But, you know, Senator, what I do have confidence in and what I've seen over the last couple of years are the people of this country are waking up. The people are finding out that government is too big and that what government is doing is going to affect their lives today, tomorrow, next week, next month, next year, and the lives of their children and grandchildren. You know, Senator, I'm sure you've heard this before, and I want to get your take on it. This is from a book called Taking Back America, and this is interesting. Listen to this. It says, the average age of the world's civilizations has been 200 years. Civilizations and empires tend to go through the process of this sequence, say historians. Listen to this, Senator. This is the sequence. From bondage to spiritual faith, from spiritual faith to great courage, from great courage to liberty, from liberty to abundance, from abundance to selfishness, from selfishness to complacency, from complacency to apathy, from apathy to dependence, and from dependence back into bondage. America is more than two centuries old, and the question here is, Senator, where do you think we are as a nation in this sequence? Where do you think we are, Senator?
Well, I'm just looking at, you know, we all know where we're at, but I'm looking at this from an economic standpoint. You know, I know what you're trying to do, and I admire your desire to do it. But you know, I like to fight the enemy on ground I can win on, and this one here is not sending alcohol back to an alcoholic. Doesn't fix our problems fundamentally here. You know, we can make a statement, but we have to have an end game on what we're going to do to win. Now, you know, you sit and listen, you know, Bernanke talked yesterday to Congress. In my opinion, Bernanke, he's an arsonist, and we keep giving him matches.
Right.
Because what he says is he's going to continue to print money, which is monetizing the debt, as long as unemployment stays high. And the fact is that printing money is creating unemployment because you lose faith in businesses of being able to hire and pay for things in a high inflationary period.
Right, no certainty. The businesses have no certainty, right?
So whether we like it or not, we're stuck with what we've got right now. Now, does that, you know, and I know what the facts and figures are. 90% of people on unemployment don't look for work until their last two checks. You know, that's human nature. But I also know what the long-term employment picture is. And what we're doing is we're living in an inflated bubble that's going to pop. Now, will we be here next year trying to debate this and extend unemployment benefits for 4 years? Probably, because our fiscal policy is not going to work. You know, inflation, you know what was odd the other day? Bernanke said there's no inflation to the core. And he expects for the next 3 years there to be no inflation to the core. But part of the core is they don't figure in fuel and food prices into that core. Now, did you stop by the gas station on your way up here?
Yeah, that's just absurd.
Do you think
it?
That inflation is running 2%?
No.
So, you know, while we have a bunch of arsonists running our Federal Reserve System, it's going to be very tough for our states to even attempt to begin the process of slowing this down or looking at it. So I commend you for what you're doing because I'm right there with you. I'm not gonna vote for this because I think we do have to send a message. But I think we also send a message by you know, I was encouraged by the Republican Congress coming in that if there was hope for us to turn this around and stop the spending, they're gonna have to shut the thing down. They're gonna have to shut the government down because there is no such thing as a soft landing when you're in this predicament that we're in. And to continue, now today they did a $4 billion cut to keep the government going a little bit longer. Do you know how much that cut was to the money that we borrowed? We're borrowing 40 cents for every dollar we're spending. So out of that borrowed money, if you look at it in terms of a $100 bill, we cut 44 cents out of a $100 bill of $1.5 trillion that we borrowed. That's not what our budget is. That's how much we had to borrow for this year's budget just to keep alive. So, you know, I thought that the Congress had an opportunity to do a message by shutting this thing down, beginning the hard choices of balancing a budget. But what I've seen is that we're going to continue to borrow. We're going to continue to go because there is no intention of ever paying this debt off. But they're going to monetize it, which is going to hurt every working family in this state, regardless of what is happening. It's going to lead to high inflation, higher food prices, everything that we do, because government doesn't want to make those tough choices that we have to make here every day. So maybe we could begin the process of saying no to this. And you know, again, I'm going to vote no on it, but I'm not going to hold it up. But you know, this will be a fight that we have to fight all the time. But you have to realize we have to fight from the idea that they'll never balance a budget because they don't intend to, they don't want to, and operate our state policies on the idea that we have to learn to live in a monetization of debt through high inflation and higher costs. So that's where our battleground is going to be for the next few years. We can continue to fight this. We're going to send it back to you, but it's not going to do any good because it's printed money anyway. So until we get, you know, if you want to fix it, you go back to gold standard, where money is actually based on value. And the reason they didn't go to they got off the gold standards, they said because it was too volatile. Well, what have we got now in the markets but volatility? But, you know, and there's the fact is, they said there's not enough gold out there. But you know, I'd work for a dollar an hour if the purchasing power of that dollar meant something. And that's what's happening now, is the dollar means nothing because it's based on nothing. You know, you could work for, the dollar's lost 95% of its purchasing power. I'd work for a dollar an hour if gas was 10 cents a gallon and food cost me 10 cents because it would make the dollar worth something, and prices would fluctuate to that. So those are ideas that we need to get back to some basics on. We can continue to beat out brush fires, which that's what we do as states right now when we refuse to get back to the core problem of what we're doing, and it's because our monetary policy is based on people who don't know basic economics. So I admire you. Continue to fight. But let's make sure we're fighting from the ground that what is happening, not well, let's fight from the idea that we are now in the process of monetizing debt rather than ever relying on Congress to balance a budget, because it'll never happen. Those days are over until we stop and realize that what we're doing won't work. And Senator, that'll be a few years down the road.
I appreciate it, and I agree that this battle will be waged on many fronts, that this isn't the only front. I think that we'll be experiencing a lot of those battles in this chamber this session. And I think a lot of our colleagues will be sending a very distinct and clear message to those in Washington, D.C., and whether they choose to hear the message from the states or not doesn't discount our responsibility to send the message. So I have faith in the American people that they are waking up. And the only way that this message is going to be heard is if we talk about it, if we wage these battles, if we fight these fights. Those guys over there at that table, are feverishly writing about us sending money back to the federal government, right?
I totally agree. I have faith in the American people. I don't have any faith in the elected leaders of this country and the fiscal policy.
Neither do I, Senator.
Like I talked about, our Federal Reserve is headed by an arsonist, and we keep giving him matches because it's not working. So I'm with you all the way. I'm going to, vote no on this and stick my tongue out at the federal government and begin the process of trying to figure out a way we get out of this mess. So
Thank you, Senator.
You for the inquiry.
Thank you. Mr. President.
Senator from the 1st.
Could I inquire the Senator from the 8th?
The Senator from the 8th District, do you yield to the inquiry?
I do.
He does. Proceed.
Morning, Senator.
Morning, Senator.
How are you on this beautiful day?
I am fabulous. Do you realize that our...
Did you hear my little reading out of Taking Back America?
I didn't hear it all, no.
You didn't?
Hmm.
You want me to read it again?
Yes.
I guess I could summarize. Yeah, I might go back to the beginning of the book at some time. But it says that the average age of the world civilizations has been 200 years, and that civilizations and empires tend to go through this process. All right. It's from bondage to spiritual faith, from spiritual faith to great courage, from great courage to liberty, from liberty to abundance, from abundance to selfishness, from selfishness to complacency, from complacency to apathy, from apathy to dependence, and from dependence back again to bondage. So my question to the Senator from Howell, and I never got an answer, where do you think we are on that timeline as a nation?
I think we're reaching towards the end.
From apathy to dependence? We certainly are in that, or maybe a little bit past that.
A little bit further, probably.
So we're kind of in between that and dependence back into bondage. How would you describe bondage? I mean, what would be an example, maybe, of bondage? Well, the Senator from the 4th, look where his mind goes.
in the instance of talking about a nation is, where are our debts?
Debt.
Where do we have to go to get relieved.
Your mind's not in the gutter, Senator.
No, where do we need to go to get relieved of the situation that we're handed? Right now, our national deficit is growing. In fact, it's at $14.19 trillion. Do you know that every 15 minutes, we over 43 million growth on our national deficit?
Every 15 minutes,
every
what?
43 million.
You know, Senator, look up in the upper chamber. We have some school children in the orange shirts. I don't know where they're from. Hi. I wonder if they heard that every 15 minutes, our nation goes $43 million further into debt. Further, every 15 minutes.
After 30, it's $86 million, and then after an hour, it's $172 million further into debt. That's their money and their children's money.
Exactly.
I mean, there's, like the gentleman...
Senator from the 8th, this is the second time you've been warned to face the dais. Please face the dais during your inquiry.
Thank you, Mr. President.
I like to face the people that I'm actually talking with, but I get your point.
That is not allowed in the Missouri Senate, Senator.
I understand there, Mr. President. I appreciate the correction. But the senator from the 33rd District mentioned earlier about the federal government. Where were we anyways? I got sidetracked on where
I was. Just take your time. We've got all day.
That's
matter of fact, we got till tomorrow, too. We might even stay through the weekend.
I can understand that. moving on. Right now, in the federal spending on unemployment compensation for this year, 2011, is projected to be $129 billion. On unemployment.
I'm sorry,
benefits.
Senator. Hold it. Slow down there. So give me that number again because I was a little
$129 billion is what our projected expenditure on unemployment benefits is going to be at the federal level.
So at the federal level. So the federal government sends that to the states, right?
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah. And where do they get that money?
Well, Senator, I think you realize that we're borrowing a lot of that from China and we're printing money that
we
don't necessarily have.
Because, Senator, we've blown through the $2.5 trillion that we've actually collected this year in taxes, right?
That's correct.
Right. We've blown through that money. So this is all borrowed money, and we're borrowing it from China, right? And we're borrowing it and piling this debt up from the next generation.
Right, and on our kids and our grandkids.
Right,
and
we're doing this because you know, they'll never be able to live the lifestyle, you know, that you... our generation, or our parents, or our grandparents, right? Because of this crippling debt that we're piling up, it affects their standard of living.
Right.
As a senator for Howell was addressing.
If you were into this kind of debt, you would have to file bankruptcy.
Well, exactly.
And that would destroy our country.
Because I don't have a printing machine, right?
And that's right.
Or the banks would have cut me off long ago, right? If I lived over my means, if I didn't live within my budget. Right?
Absolutely.
But we have a federal government that is now spending $1.6 trillion more than they've taken in, and they continue to send it to the states. And we hear our colleagues in this body that say, well, everybody else is doing it. What did your mother, ever tell you, you know, if everybody else was jumping off a bridge, you know, would you jump off the bridge too?
I've been asked that many times when I was a young gentleman. I don't believe in following the leader. I believe that we need to set our own path. And we in the state of Missouri need to say no. We need to say no to this.
Three senators on the floor. The senator from Johnson.
I'd like to seek unanimous consent to introduce a special group.
Hearing no objections, Senator, proceed.
I'm sorry to interrupt the debate, but I'm sure the elementary school from Harrisonville, Missouri has enjoyed this lively debate. And at this time, I'd like to introduce Harrisonville Elementary School. That we have lots of students. You probably can see them in the orange shirts. So anyway, we're glad to have the Harrisonville Elementary School. They do not work for MoDOT. They are elementary school students. And we are glad to have them here. So if they would please stand up.
Let's make the guests of the senator from Johnson feel welcome as they join us here today in the Missouri Senate.
So, Senator, now instead of when we talk about spending the money of the next generation of our children and the next generation of children. We have some students here, some children from Harrison. Was it Harrison?
Harrisonville. It's
Harrisonville.
Just south of the 8th Senatorial District.
Close to your district.
That's not too far.
Right, so now we can kind of put a face on who we're talking about.
What money? Whose money we're spending.
Whose money we're spending, right. And it's actually the federal government spending that money.
That's right.
Right. And sending it to the states. I just don't want the state to be
a
willing accomplice.
We're going to be a part of that if
right.
we pass
if we,
this legislation
pass
to
this.
Extend these benefits right. another to 99 weeks. I mean, like 79 weeks isn't long enough.
Right. And I think we have a responsibility to those children and to our constituents to live within our means.
Absolutely.
You know, you mentioned your family budget, you know, and how you have to live within your means. We as a state, we have a constitutional amendment in our Constitution that says, or a provision in our Constitution, that says you will balance your budget, okay? We can't live beyond our means, okay?
It's a great amendment.
Don't you wish we had that, the federal government?
Absolutely.
I mean,
they should have to live within their means, just like each state pretty much.
You know
has
what
to.
Would happen, Senator, if our federal government lived within their means and balanced their budget?
No.
You know,
Senator.
We talk about job creation in this chamber almost every day. If the federal government lived within its means and quit taking from this generation and the next generation and the generation after that, our economy would explode. The job creation, no one in this global economy could compete with us if we just live within our means. You know, why don't we give that a try for a change? Instead of continuing to dig our way out of a hole, we continue to dig and dig and dig.
We think we can print money and buy ourselves out of this hole that we're in.
And what's that doing, Senator, is we're continuing to dig. And I really believe that these bozos in Washington, D.C., actually want to dig their way all the way to China because they've got a lot going on with China for some reason. This, I think, a very perverse relationship with China. We continue to borrow more and more money from them, and one day they're going to turn off the spigot, and they're going to say it's time to pay the piper, all right? And then we're going to see hyperinflation like this nation has never seen before until we do something about it. The senator from Nottoway says buy silver and gold. That's probably good advice.
I would think so.
You have some other interesting numbers.
I do. Yeah. Back in 2005 and 2007, unemployment benefits were around $31 million to $33 billion, and now it's already This year it's going to be $129 billion. So the growth was over $100 billion in the time period there. That's pretty significant inflation there.
Yeah, it's staggering. It's staggering. And you know what? We talked about it yesterday when we were on this bill. It's not about not having a safety net for our constituents. I think that is a proper function of good government. The idea that you have the ability to have a safety net for those that are going through rough times, right?
Right.
In the state, we have this responsibility of 26 weeks. And 26 weeks is half a year, Senator, right? 6 months. Somebody can get, you know,
right.
these benefits.
But
right?
We're not even talking about limiting it to that. We're talking about 79 weeks, which is well over a year.
Yeah.
Senator.
Currently it's 79 weeks, right?
Correct.
And this extension would make it 99 weeks, almost 2 years
right.
of receiving benefits. Okay. And you know what? Quite frankly, you know, I feel confident that I can look in the face of my constituents and say that it's not right for you to take from your neighbor. For 2 years, because that's what's happening. Okay, it doesn't come. These aren't pennies falling from heaven, Senator. All right, they have to come from somewhere. And I really want to ask the people of Missouri: is 99 weeks too long?
Do you know? I think that there's some studies out there that prove that the longer you're on unemployment, the less marketable you are.
That's correct.
And
that
have you
correct.
Ever hired anybody before?
Yes, so yeah.
Okay.
Have a couple
you,
different
on the,
small
on
businesses.
On those resumes, I'd like to do maybe an independent survey of the entire Senate and talk to each senator and find out if they have hired people and looked at gaps in resumes. And maybe if there's not a good explanation for that gap, there's a reason that you might not want to hire somebody. Maybe they don't want to work. And do you want to hire somebody that may not want to work? And if you're off unemployment for unemployed for 99 weeks, that kind of sends me a signal as a person that potentially may hire somebody that you're not really interested in working. Because there's probably jobs out there. They may not be the jobs that we want, are the caliber that pay what we would like, but there are jobs nonetheless that you probably could get.
Yeah.
And you mentioned in appropriations the other day that there was an employer in your area that...
Two employers that
are having difficult time trying to find people that are willing to work.
And the interesting thing about it is they're going back to people that have worked for them in the past. All right? They're going back and maybe because...
Three senators on the floor. The senator from Johnson.
Thank you very much, Mr. President. I ask this bill be laid over.
The bill shall be laid
Thank
over.
You.
With the amendment pending. The senator from the 23rd.